Fasten your seatbelts and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Feed the body food and drink, it will survive today. Feed the soul art and music, it will live forever. This quote from Dame Julie Andrews appears on the website of the Central Wisconsin Symphony Orchestra. Its mission is to enrich, engage, and educate through the power and performance of live music. From its humble beginnings in 1948 to today, the CWSO has been feeding souls and living on its mission for 70 years. Legends and Legacies is the theme of the 70th season, featuring works by legendary composers and reflections of the legacies left by those who have shaped the CWSO over the years. One of those legacies honored this year is that of Dr. Patrick Miles, who will be passing on the baton as the CWSO music director and conductor after 17 years. His final concert, Maestro's Farewell, will conclude the 70th anniversary season, April 13th and 14th. Dr. Andres Moran, currently principal horn for the symphony, will assume the music director and conductor role starting in the 2019-20 season. The CWSO also has a new executive director, Mara Prouza. I'm Rick Ryer, in for Glenn Moberg. Today on Route 51, we welcome executive director Mara Prouza and conductors Pat Miles and Andy Moran from the Central Wisconsin Symphony Orchestra to tell us about this year's transition in leadership, their work with and vision for the symphony, and the role of classical music in Central Wisconsin. Let's quickly introduce our guests. Mara Prouza joined the CWSO as its new executive director in June of this year. She also serves as the second vice president for the Association of Wisconsin Symphony Orchestras. She's an active collaborative pianist, music educator, and arts advocate in Central Wisconsin. As a music educator, she has taught at UW-Stevens Point, the Wausau Conservatory of Music, Globe University, and John Muir and Horseman Middle Schools in Wausau. Dr. Patrick Miles has served as music director for the CWSO for the past 17 seasons. He has conducted more than 20 professional and collegiate orchestras throughout the United States and spent 10 years as music director and conductor for both the Green Bay Civic Symphony and the Wausau Symphony. As a hornist, he has performed with orchestras throughout the United States and in London and Rome. He also served as director of orchestral activities and professor of horn at UWSP from 1989 to 2016, and has held teaching positions at Iowa State University, Oregon State University, and Grinnell College. Dr. Andres Moran will take up the baton as music director for the CWSO for this next season. He is currently principal horn for the CWSO. At UW-Stevens Point, Moran serves as the director of the UWSP Symphony Orchestra and artist teacher of horn. From 2009 to 2016, Moran was the resident conductor of the El Paso Symphony Orchestra and the music director and general manager of the El Paso Symphony Youth Orchestras, where he was involved in education and outreach programs. Thank you all for being here today. Welcome to Route 51.
Happy to be here.
Starting with Mara Prouza, what inspires you individually as a musician and administrator for a regional symphony orchestra, and what are your influences?
Well, that's a many-part question. I am inspired as a musician, I would say, by performers that have really worked on honing their skills and watching them show off their talents and how hard they have worked and the years they've spent perfecting what they do, watching them in live performance, I find that very inspiring. But I'm also inspired in today's day and age when everything is just so technologically advanced and fast-paced. I'm very inspired by slowing down, listening to classical music, and also looking out my back window. We have woods in the backyard, and seeing the hummingbirds and the turkeys and the deer and the woodpeckers that come to visit. And I find that very inspiring, too, just to get back to nature and simplicity.
Pat Miles, who are your influences?
Oh, the influence I had as a conductor was part of my primary conducting teacher at the University of Iowa. His name was James Dixon. I learned a tremendous amount from him, how to be efficient in a rehearsal. But also he was a big fan of the music of Gustav Mahler. And I remember the first time I heard a Mahler symphony, and it I mean, I was just stunned. I had to sit down and just quit doing what I was doing and listen to it. And I'm just getting goosebumps right now still thinking about that experience. And as my horn career, probably my teacher at Iowa as well, who Paul Anderson, was just a really fabulous person and an honorable man and just worked really hard for his students. And that showed me what I wanted to do as a teacher and how I wanted to approach my horn playing.
Andy Moran?
Yeah, you know, I think for most musicians that end up, you know, pursuing this field as a career and our kind of our life's work, it starts at a very young age, and that was the case for me. And grew up in a musical family and kind of surrounded by not only listening but hearing my mom practice piano and my aunts and uncles kind of really being involved in a very deep level with music, and just seemed kind of fascinating to me growing up and really wanted to just pursue it. It just seemed like so much fun to be able to actually play for a living. And that is just really carried through all the studies and the ups and the downs. But, you know, it's really something to just kind of get a lot of fulfillment from all throughout my life.
Mara, you accepted the executive directorship when Anhan Toon retired in June of this past this year. How do you view the symphony's role as part of the region's culture, and what vision do you have for the symphony moving forward?
Well, I think the symphony is really a cultural hub for central Wisconsin. And really, when we have an area with great live cultural events like the symphony, it really attracts a diverse and dynamic audience and group of people. And it makes people want to live in this area and be part of this area. My vision moving forward, of course, is to always work to create a more diverse audience, to expand our outreach and efforts to reach all ages and all socioeconomic statuses, and create more partnerships with other organizations so that we just have a broader reach and we are available to anyone that would like to come hear us and experience what we have to offer.
This year, the CWSO is celebrating its 70th season. Pat Miles, you've been the symphony's conductor for the past 17 years. What changes have you seen in the symphony during this time? And tell us a bit about one of your most memorable conducting experiences.
Well, I think the biggest change is the growth in the organization, both from just a structural standpoint, but especially artistically. The orchestra is performing at such a high level now. We have wonderful musicians that we get to collaborate with. And it's just a joy to go to rehearsals and then on the concert weekends be able to share that music with our patrons. And regarding memorable experiences, there are so many, Rick, really. I mean, I was thinking about this question. Any time that our concertmaster, Steve Biella, has performed a solo with us, that's memorable. Steve and I have known each other, since I think we met in 1979, and we've performed together so many times. It's like sitting down and having a conversation whenever I do anything with Steve. It's just great. And then a couple others, more solos. When we had the associate concertmaster from the Chicago Symphony, David Taylor, he was here a few years ago. And just watching the technique of his left hand when he was playing, I mean, that I was hardly looking at the score. I just spent the whole time watching his hand because it's just unbelievable what that man can do. And then a local soloist, Molly Roseman, who is here in Wausau and teaches at the university down in Stevens Point. When she did the Ravel Concerto with us a couple years ago, she is so underrated. It was one of the most sublime performances I've ever been involved with. It was just terrific, and she was fabulous. A couple others, the Verdi Requiem we did about 10 years ago is just powerful, powerful, powerful. Our Matthias Mahler, the Hindemith that we did a few years ago, has stayed with me. And there's, you know, I could go on and on, but I won't.
It's been 17 years, and yeah. I would imagine you could probably pull out a great memory from each of those seasons.
Yes, you're probably right.
To open the 70th season, the CWSO commissioned a work to commemorate the anniversary. CWSO principal oboist Stacy Burke composed Reflections. Let's listen to a portion as it was performed in October. Andy Moran, what goes into commissioning a piece, and how does the orchestra prepare for performing a brand new work?
Well, it's really a major part of what I think every orchestra wants to be a part of is kind of creating this, adding to the legacy of these great composers that we perform and we study as musicians growing up. But the commissioning process is you know, finding a composer that you're deeply committed to their work and you really enjoy their compositional voice and approaching them and saying, we'd love you to write a piece for our ensemble. And this is a really unique situation because Stacy knows our ensemble inside and out. She's been principal oboist for how long, Pat?
17 years. We came at the same time.
Yeah. So, she understands the ins and outs of the group and the personality of our ensemble and of Pat as well. And she came up with this piece that really celebrated all of those things. And being a horn player back and in the orchestra, reading through the piece for the very first time this fall and then seeing it through to performance, it's great to know that you're kind of part of this process. And you want to, of course, do your best as a member of the orchestra that you helped kind of make this piece succeed.
And most people, I would imagine, the average person thinking about classical music, think of the legends of the composers of the past. And it must be quite incredible to be able not only to play new work, but to actually compose it. What goes into composing a piece of music for a complete orchestra such as the CWSO? Pat, would you respond to that?
Well, my composition chops are decades in the past, so I'm not sure I can relate to that so much anymore. But one of the things that Andy said is spot on, that when you do a commission, you have to be dedicated to that composer's work, and I think we all are to Stacy. She's a wonderful composer. She's a terrific musician, and that's the kind of thing you want to celebrate and make sure that everybody gets a chance to hear the music that she's writing.
I think one thing that was really unique about this piece that she wrote for us is kind of the way that she seamlessly used pre-existing material. She involved a couple of very prominent pieces that are already composed. The Ode to Joy of Beethoven, and then a little bit of Elgar's Enigma Variations, and used those as kind of like two models and material to draw from to create this brand new piece. And if you're maybe listening closely, you hear them, but they're so well integrated into the whole piece that it really kind of created this whole new thing.
Mara, how broad is the reach of the CWSO, and how many members are there?
We have approximately 70 orchestral members, and they come from all over the central Wisconsin area. So we have people coming from Green Bay, Wausau, Fox Valley, Marshfield, Madison, Fond du Lac, of course, Stevens Point, our home base. But musicians come travel to join us because they really enjoy playing with our ensemble.
If I could jump in, I think that's a big testament actually to the work that Pat's done in the last 17 years, to have people that are willing to drive sometimes in some pretty treacherous conditions.
Yeah,
in the winter, an hour and a half to a rehearsal on a Tuesday evening and our weekend concerts, because they know that the experience that they're going to have is really fantastic and that it's their friends and we're all supportive of each other.
And how does that compare to similar orchestras of the same size as CWSO?
Well, I would say as far as similar size, we're actually quite advanced with what we can offer on several different levels. First of all, our artistic level is extremely high, and we're known for that. And of course, again, we owe a lot of that to Pat Miles. But as well as that, but back in our home office, we have a very advanced ticketing system called Patron Manager that some orchestras that are triple our size use. We've just published a brand new magazine, which is very exciting. It's replacing our program books, and it keeps our patrons abreast of everything new that's going on with the orchestra, which is quite a bit. So as far as where we compare with other orchestras, I feel like we are functioning, while we're small, at a very high level, like orchestras that are quite large in size.
Andy, you're going to be up there conducting this next season. What is your vision for the CWSO going forward?
Well, that's right. I'm really looking forward to it, and I think it's a pretty unique situation that we're in, where you have somebody that's played in the orchestra now. This is my third year getting to step in to conduct the group next year, and I think one of the big things that as Mara and I were kind of sitting together and working to come up with our repertoire and our concert selections for next season was we wanted to see how we could continue the work that Anne Huntoon and Pat have done to kind of make our organization more vital to our community, more kind of a part and a fabric of the Central Wisconsin area. And I think that's a big part. You have to realize, I think, kind of what our mission is, but not only that, but what we want to do, but also what our community wants us to do and needs us to do. And so we want to continue on that same path.
You're listening to CWSO's Mara Prouza, Pat Miles, and Andy Moran on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rick Ryer. When we return, we'll discuss classical music in Central Wisconsin, the challenges faced by contemporary symphonies, and CWSO's educational outreach efforts. This is Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Today on Route 51, we are talking about the Central Wisconsin Symphony and its 70-year history in the region. Our guest from the CWSO, our Executive Director Mara Prouza, retiring Music Director and Conductor Pat Miles, and incoming Music Director and Conductor Andy Moran. I'm Rick Ryer, in for Glenn Moberg, and we're listening to a piece familiar to many, Tchaikovsky's Waltz of the Flowers, performed last weekend by the CWSO. Starting, Andy, with you, how does Central Wisconsin respond to classical music? And tell us about what goes into planning a season for the symphony.
Well, I found in my 3 years here now that we have a very kind of advanced and knowledgeable community when it comes to classical music, and I think they're really thirsty for what we have to offer. You know, when putting together a season, I think, is a kind of a somewhat of a balancing act. You have a wide demographic of audience members. You have different ages, different backgrounds, different tastes, and you want to have something on each program that's going to kind of reach out to each of those demographics. And so it's a pretty delicate balancing act. But I with this audience, I think it's really about performing music of very high quality, performing it at a high level, and with that kind of high level of energy, high level of commitment, it's just a really welcoming audience.
Pat Miles.
Everything that Andy said is true. you have to, when you're programming, you have to balance for each individual program so that you have a variety of music for the audience. And then you have to have a variety of program throughout the season. You can't, you know, always have the same kind of soloist. You can't always play just Beethoven symphonies. So you have to change that. And then within that, when I program, I try to think of about a five-year arc. So that I'm looking just at the individual concert, the season, and then programming things through 5 years so we don't repeat too much. And like Andy said, making sure that we have a variety for everybody, and that includes the new works like we talked about. But just trying to make sure that we're programming music for the audience, but also programming music to make sure that it's challenging and rewarding for the musicians as well.
Over the 17 years you've been conducting, what really resonates with the Central Wisconsin audiences?
when Andy said, great music that's played at a really high level. And even if somebody maybe does not love the music of Brahms or whatever, when the CWSO plays it, if we play it at a high level, they're going to be appreciative of that. So I think we just try to do the best that we can with the music that we're playing.
Mara, what is the value of live classical music? And what is the economic impact of having a professional orchestra in the region?
Absolutely. That's an excellent question. I mean, the value of live music. Music is an art that makes us human. Music is that universal language that everyone can understand no matter where they come from. So truly, the goal really is for everyone to come together. And when we're in probably the most politically divided atmosphere that we've been in for years, this is a way for people to come, no matter what side of the political spectrum they are on, no matter what socioeconomic status they come from, to come together and experience art and togetherness and to be a whole.
What challenges does the CWSO face as a classical music organization? Other Wisconsin symphonies have been facing financial hurdles. For example, the Green Bay Symphony disbanded, folded up in 2015. What does it take to keep a regional symphony orchestra afloat and running smoothly?
Well, truly, it takes amazing teamwork and community support. So from my perspective, we have a fabulous music director that inspires the orchestra musicians and brings fabulous musicians. Those musicians inspire our community members. They want to get involved, which leads to us having a very strong board of directors that's very involved and wants to take us to the next level, and a strong office that we are working towards making sure we're pleasing the community, and we are reaching out for community support through grants and educational outreach. It takes a team, truly. It takes everyone on board with that vision of where we want to go and where we want to be, all working towards that goal.
Pat and Andy, one major challenge symphonies face is attracting younger listeners, younger audiences, especially from less affluent backgrounds. According to Symphony, the magazine of American orchestras, contemporary symphonies are trying to many types of outreach, including pops concerts, youth symphonies with travel opportunities, young artist competitions, educational concerts for elementary, middle school students, and other family-oriented events. Tell us more about the symphony's role in local music education and what you're doing to attract younger audiences, and what approaches are being considered in the future for CWSO.
Sure. Well, I think that's a big part of the sustainability that you're referring to, and the challenges that any arts organization, any nonprofit organization faces is you talk about attracting audiences, and that's sure, you want to get people that are interested in your product, but also a big part of this is not only attracting them, but going them and meeting them not more than halfway, often more often than not. And so exploring these other opportunities is really important to our mission. And on the educational side of things, I think that's a really critical kind of point for us. And you bring up the Symphony Orchestra League, the Symphony Magazine, the stats, and often at their conferences, one of the big kind of selling points that they talk about in regards to an orchestra's involvement in education and music education is that the more often that a child in their grade school and secondary school years are involved in music, the chances are much greater of them actually coming in and attending concerts when they're adults. And so a big part of what we want to do is to get and support our local school systems and their music educators through our Dorothy Vedder concerts, which we are going to be incorporating some fabulous curriculum and fabulous concerts that's provided by Carnegie Hall in New York. And it's a concert that I got a chance to conduct when I was in Texas, and it's just such a dynamic and engaging product that having an auditorium full of fourth graders that are involved in this concert experience is going to really, I think, change the dynamic and the culture in our school systems for the better in their music.
Well, expand a little bit more about the veteran concerts and how that all works and who's involved and who gets invited to attend and some of the teachers that are involved with it as well.
Sure. We are extremely excited about our veteran concerts this year. We are bringing in over 1,800 fourth graders from surrounding counties, Marathon County, Portage County, Wood County, Washera County. I'm probably missing some counties. But we are bringing in over 1,800 children in three concerts throughout the day. And with this program, we actually bring in curriculum to the public school teachers. We help them get the instruments for the students because there are recorders involved. And these students learn some of the pieces, whether it's singing, playing, recorder, and they not only experience the orchestra performing these pieces, but for some parts of the concert, they get to join and play along with the orchestra. So not only is it a wonderful listening opportunity, but it's a participatory concert, which is very exciting.
Does the curriculum cost the school district, or how does that work?
It does not. The curriculum is something that we have partnered with Carnegie Hall. Luckily, through community support and grants, we have been able to adopt this program. And we are just reaching out, and this is our way of supporting and helping local music educators with these rather tough standards that they have to reach with their students.
And one of the things that we're really fortunate with, Rick, is a few years ago we got a grant to fund a dedicated education coordinator for the symphony. Mary Moran, who is also our principal violist and happens to be married to our incoming conductor, has done just an incredible job the last two years. I can't remember how long she's been doing that. But she and Andy were so important in getting this connection with Carnegie Hall and getting this better concert as a standalone set for the fourth graders in the area. And it's going to be have a huge impact this year, I think, and we're really fortunate to have that happen.
And that's something the average person really doesn't know a lot about. They hear about the symphony and they hear about the concerts of the symphony, but they don't know necessarily what's going on behind the scenes with the educational effort and especially the commitment that CWSO has in that area.
Right.
Another opportunity you have for young musicians is the Betty Frost Jenkins Young Artist Concerto Competition. Explain that. How does that work?
So that competition is open to ninth graders through seniors in, again, surrounding communities. They come in and they audition with a concerto, which basically is a solo piece accompanied by our orchestra, and the winner gets to play with our orchestra in our October concert. Sorry, our December concert. And it's really an amazing opportunity for these students that have been studying whatever instrument it is that they play since some of them were 3, 4, 5 years old and have just put enormous amounts of time and effort into honing their skill.
And one of the things I've noticed, Rick, with this is these young students are so polished, and they have it together, and you know they've done radio interviews, and I just think back when I was 16 or 17, what a disaster I probably would have been. But you know, working with all these young artists has really been fun, and it's been a joy, and we get so many comments from audience members about how terrific those students are.
And this year's winner, Benjamin Bates from Wassa Newman Catholic High School, played with the December concert this past weekend. And here's a little bit from that.
Thank you.
Pat Miles, what was it like for him to come up, especially with rehearsal and then the performance this past weekend?
Well, like I just said, I mean, he's so polished, and they all are, and we only get two rehearsals. I meet with a soloist for about half an hour before our Tuesday rehearsal, and we rehearse then, and then we have the dress rehearsal, and we're ready to go. It was really easy. He was very polished, really had it together, and the rehearsals were easy. And if the rehearsals go well, you know the concert's going to go well. And, it was borne out by the performance you're listening to now.
You're listening to CWSO's Mara Prouza, Pat Miles, and Andy Moran on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rick Ryer. This is Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Today on Route 51, we are talking about the Central Wisconsin Symphony and its 70-year history in the region. Our guests from the CWSO are Executive Director Mara Prouza, Conductor Pat Miles, and incoming Conductor Andy Moran. I'm Rick Ryer, in for Glenn Moberg. We're listening to the CWSO's performance of Gioachino Rossini's Overture to the Barber of Seville. Mara, over the years, the CWSO has brought in guest musicians to perform with the orchestra. This year, vocal ensemble Cantus from the Twin Cities performed with the CWSO. How do audiences react to special guest performances like this, and what kinds of challenges present themselves with these concerts?
Well, from what I saw at our December concert, the audience members were just thrilled with our guest artist, Cantus. The guys themselves were fabulous musicians as well as great people to work with backstage. And so challenges lay in that they come in and they have one rehearsal sometimes two, with our orchestra, and they have to, you know, put it together and make it sound fabulous. And you never know what you're getting when guest artists come in. You never know what personalities. But in this case, the guys were fabulous, so easy to work with. They met our audience after they performed and were just wonderful to talk to. And I think that, you know, I've heard nothing but wonderful comments from everyone that was at that concert.
Pat Miles, conducting something like this, how does that work, especially during a rehearsal where you may or may not have the actual guest performers there at that point in time?
Right. Well, this one was a little bit different in that I get together with the guest soloists ahead of time, and we go through tempo changes and we do all that. But they did not get here until Saturday morning, and so we didn't really have time before that first rehearsal to get together. So you're just doing it on the fly. And an added challenge is that when we set up, I'm looking at the orchestra, and the soloists are between the audience and me, and I can't see any of them. And so, you know, you just sort of learn by feel where people might want to slow down or speed up a little bit and take some liberties with the music. And as Mara said, they were incredibly easy to work with, so it just makes my job that much easier.
Pat, two concerts remain in the 70th anniversary season, Friends and Favorites on February 23rd and 24th, and Maestro's Farewell on April 13th and 14th. The Friends and Favorites concert features two local musicians, soprano Susan Bender and pianist Michael Keller, both good friends with whom you've collaborated frequently. How does a collaboration with the UWSP faculty, Wausau Conservatory of Music, and other local musicians really come about?
Well, it's so important, and one of the reasons we haven't talked about yet why I think the artistic level of CWSO is so high is we have a very close connection with the university. Probably about half of our principal players are faculty at the university, so their leadership, both artistically and just as a professional standard, really sets the tenor for how the orchestra is going to perform. So that's hugely important for us. And then as a conductor, selfishly, it gives me a chance to perform with some of my friends. And that's exactly what I'm doing by having Michael Keller come back from Madison. And Susan Bender and I have known each other since the early 80s. We've done recitals together, and she's sung with various orchestras I've conducted. So it's just going to be a fun time.
Also coming up, that concert in February is the culmination of the So You Think You Can Conduct contest. Tell us a bit about that, Mara.
Sure. It is a very fun, and we like to say fierce, competition in which we have three candidates of various backgrounds that basically compete for the opportunity to conduct our orchestra in February at our February concerts. And they can use whatever means they wish to do so. They usually present at our concerts. We have some that sing, some that give us slideshow presentations, all kinds of creative outlets to obtain votes, basically, towards their candidacy to conduct our orchestra. And whoever gets the most votes at the end of the competition, and the votes are donations towards our orchestra, wins the competition and conducts our orchestra.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun.
Andy and Pat, I want you both to talk about this, but I'm starting with you, Andy.
Sure.
Tell us about a day in the life of a conductor preparing for a concert.
Mm. Well, that's, you know, most of the work that conductors do is out, you know, nobody really sees it. you know, I guess the final culminating part of it is the rehearsals and the performance in front of an audience. But you have to spend so much time just kind of in a quiet room, just look, you and the score, basically. And I had a conducting teacher at one point when I was in Dallas who put it this way, that every piece is kind of like a safe. And it has its own unique combination. And you basically have to live with that piece enough to figure out what that combination is. So you figure out what maybe the harmony or the melody or the rhythm or the orchestration of it. And every piece has a different way that it's put together. And the longer that you kind of spend time with the piece, study the piece, maybe sit down at a piano or sing through it and play through it, it's you know, it's just part of this continual process. And I know for me, no matter how many times I've conducted a piece, it's always different every single time. There's always something new to kind of unravel about it.
When you're looking at the score, yeah, in that quietness in that room, do you actually hear the music in your head?
Yeah, it takes a while sometimes. Some pieces it takes a long time. but no, it does come to you. And you know, you're training. It's something you've done for a long, long time now. And you just kind of pick up this ability to kind of hear it, these just blots of ink on a page, hear it in your head.
And Pat, reflecting on your 17 years with the CWSL conducting, what is a day in the life for you?
It depends. You know, starting in the summer, which is usually when I would have the most time to start studying scores, and do like Andy does. You know, you sit down at your desk and you're going through the pages of the score. Oftentimes in the summer, I'll get out and ride on my bike, and the score is going through my head. You know, as a conductor, you sort of have to visualize where the problems are going to be before they happen, so you can prepare for it. Because we only have three full rehearsals in the dress rehearsal, so we don't have a lot of time to fix things. So you want to prepare ahead of time. And then as the concert gets closer, maybe trying to figure out what technical liabilities I have and what can I do to make it easier for the orchestra to play. If there's a problem we're not getting through, how do I fix that? And then being able to fix things on the fly in the podium. It's live music, so sometimes things go wrong that you haven't prepared for. And Andy and I were talking about this once. In conducting school, they don't prepare you for that, how to fix something. If something happens right then, you have to make a decision in a nanosecond. How do I fix this? And that's part of the challenge, but it's really part of the fun too.
Tough question for both of you. Who's your favorite composer and why? One.
I'll go first because I'll steal an answer that Pat could be. For me, it's always been Johannes Brahms, a great German romantic composer, and particularly his writing for the horn, being a horn player. Both Pat and I are horn players, and you know, it's just the way that he uses that instrument and creates these unbelievable works. And I'm really looking forward to our last concert. I never got a chance to play his first symphony, and that's, I think, the last thing that Pat will conduct. I'm really looking forward to that experience.
I'm cheating and I'm taking three, Rick.
No,
Beethoven. For me, everything comes back to Beethoven. It's all there. Rhythm, harmony. Everything that I want in music is going to be in a Beethoven symphony somewhere. And then, like I said, Gustav Mahler and Igor Stravinsky. Those three are the ones that are my canon.
Mara, would you like to weigh in on that?
I would love to, but I'm with Pat on this one. Beethoven, for me. Whether it be his symphonies or whether it be his piano works or his vocal works, there's just like the highest of highs and the lowest of lows in his work. And he takes you on a journey in every work. And it's always an amazing emotional journey, whether you're performing it yourself or listening to it. It's just something that I always can connect with immediately.
You know, with that, you know, the highs and the lows, if you think of Beethoven Symphony No. 7, that funeral march in Beethoven 7 is just devastating. But you have the upbeat, tremendous buoyancy of the first movement and especially the last movement of that. And so it's all right there. And it's just tremendous. And I hope everybody gets a chance to go out and listen to that right away.
Well, tell us a little bit more about the final farewell concert.
Sure. It's entirely selfish. I'm starting with a Beethoven overture. And my favorite Beethoven overture is Egmont, but we just did that a couple years ago, so I needed to do something different. And I really like the Prometheus. It's got some great horn parts in it. You know, my second favorite composer is Mahler, and so we're doing the Adagietto for strings and harp from Mahler Symphony No. 5. It's the only single movement of one of his symphonies that Mahler said was okay to be played by itself. And if you know the symphonies of Mahler, the shortest one is probably 50 minutes, and I didn't want to take the time to do a whole symphony, so I'm taking the Adagietto out of there. And then we're doing the Rimsky-Korsakov, Capriccio Espanol, and that has some great solos and ensemble playing, and it's going to be a chance to get the certain members of the orchestra to shine. And then, like Andy said, Brahms Symphony No. 1 is just fabulous, and it has some great horn stuff, some great individual solo writing, has a tremendous conclusion. And it just feels like something that it's a good way to end a career.
Sounds wonderful. And Mara, tell us a little bit about the Center Wisconsin Jazz Ensemble. What's something new for the CWSO?
Central Wisconsin Jazz Ensemble is an ensemble made up of about 15 or so jazz musicians, a lot of them based out of UWSP, who come together and play you know, really, really fundamental jazz works. And really, this ensemble is relatively new, just in the past few years, and born out of an idea from our principal trumpet player, Brent Turney, who is also the music department chair at UWSP, who came up with this idea and thought, let's go ahead and try it. And so just a great group of jazz musicians that put on a fabulous concert.
A final question for all three of you, and we'll start with Pat. If there were just one thing, I'm going to stick to one. If there were just one thing you'd want people to know about the CWSO, what would it be?
It's a really accessible, fun, and high-quality way to listen to live orchestra music. People will know members of the orchestra, and I think that's one of the things why people keep coming back is because it's their friends, it's their neighbors. And when you come and see those people you know on stage doing something at such a high level, it'll stick with you.
Mara?
So playing off of what Pat said, with the great people who make great music, and he said something about accessibility, the one thing I want people to know is that there's a kind of a stigma with classical music, and can I go to that concert, and will I feel comfortable? And I want to invite everyone to come to the concert because you will not be sorry. Give it a try. This is a fabulous group of musicians. As he said, these are your friends and neighbors. And we are welcoming and inclusive, and we want to see you at our concerts.
Andy.
I think the one word for me is kind of like the entertainment factor. I think we really do a great job, if we can pat ourselves on the back here a little bit, of just putting out a really fantastic product, whether it's the jazz ensemble, the orchestra, the music education work that we do. It's really highly invested, and we really do our best to make sure that it's geared towards our audience.
And once again, thank you all for being here today on Route 51.
We appreciate the opportunity. Thanks, Rick.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have for today on Route 51. I'd like to thank our guests, Mara Prouza, Pat Miles, and Andy Moran from the Central Wisconsin Symphony Orchestra. You can find out more information about the CWSO, including information about the upcoming concerts in February and April, at cwso.org. Thanks to Joy Ratch-Kramer for producing today's program and for on-air production. John Altenberg composed the Route 51 theme. Special music today from Leonard Bernstein, Peter Yelich Tchaikovsky, Stacy Burke, Dmitry Kabalevsky, Kantus, and Gioachino Rossini. I'm Rick Ryer in for Glenn Moberg. Happy New Year, everybody. Thank you.